take and eat. This is the body. Drink. This is the blood. Our branch of Christianity is secure in confidence, a smidge arrogant maybe, in our superior interpretation of the words and institution from Jesus. And like each other branch of Christianity, we're going to stand strong by our convictions, and we should. Our journey through John this new year has us clashing with others, trying to be faithful to the God of the Scriptures. Chapter 3 on the holy hill of Jerusalem, Israel's idol, I-D-O-L-I-D-L-E, promised land with the truths of Moses, Jacob, prophets. And now in chapter 4 today on the holy mountain of Gerizim, the hated enemy Samaritans, idol hill, holy mountain, where they rigidly, arrogantly are stuck in the truths of Moses' mountain victory and Jacob's well alone and no more. Nicodemus, chapter 3, is on the edge. And the woman at the well in chapter 4 is on the fringe. Yet she is also well educated in the ways of their God, which is our Father God too. Jesus was and is challenging the established norms and convictions of religious tribes as we consider ourselves righter than others. And these two individuals on the outer edge of the spectrum were able to be shaken awake by Jesus, by the challenge of his true presence right in the heart of them. And he must challenge any and all because he lovingly disciplines his children. Note John the Baptist, chapter 1 of John, the one who was dedicated to hearing the word, separating himself from the word. John daily proclaims, kingdom of heaven is at hand. Prepare your hearts, the way of the Lord, change your very lives. Prepare your hearts. This John of repentance model and call is looking at his relative, interacting with Jesus, fellow follower. John, as a faithful follower in chapter 1, verse 33 and 31, says, I didn't even recognize him as the one. Chapter 2, Mother Mary, he says to her, I'm about my Father's business, and my time hasn't come to be fully revealed for your sixth ceremonial jar challenge. But Jesus provides the best wine as a clue as to just who and what he is meant to be. In chapter 2:24, he doesn't trust himself to groups and the know-it-alls because he knows them all. He knows us all. He knows our human nature and when and how to best provide true bread and living water. Nicodemus, in chapter 3, verse 10, Jesus dresses him down. You are an instructor of the truth and you don't even know these things about being born again. In the second half of chapter 4 today, Jesus, who alone hears and obeys his heavenly Father's will rightly, hears and slowly shares a steady drip of harvest time. Wheat is ready, and his bread and body truths he patiently hopes to break through into the awareness of his closest disciples. Today's text on the living water continues to be flooded into the present moment for this one Samaritan woman, and it pours out into her clan, who likewise begin the salvation story anew, which continues to change their hearts and lives, which too are then poured out for other hungry souls and blind eyes and bleeding hearts, and so on in this his eternity. Watch as she seeks out or is sought out for one-on-one time. Listen and see how Jesus breaks each mold that we make to control or imprison him and his Father's will. And can Jesus be a challenge to our Lutheran well water and our personal clay jars as we review chapter 4? The Samaritan woman is steeped in the truths of Jacob's teaching and heritage. And yet she stays truly present when she is pressed into the light of confession, when drawn out by Jesus. The clarification poured in by Jesus. And the living water claimed by Jesus that he was coming, who is, was, and is in fact right here, right there with her in this very brief but extended moment at the well. And she heard. She was receptive to his teachings that stretched and shattered the hard-fought-for truths of her people and her very self. Jesus speaks directly, as does she, to the truth that will be had for Israelites and Samaritans, Gentiles, Greeks, Romans, Africans, Norwegians, Americans, speaking the truth for us to grow up and into. She was willing in verse 28 to put down her jar, her old wineskin, a heart fought for truths of God and man. She is and was and will continue to be willing to see Jesus more than men and their muddling and meddling with God's will for her and their lives. She, while often portrayed as an outcast with quick rocks of conjecture thrown then and by us today, shattered her credibility or attempt to. We call her promiscuous. She has enough credibility, even as an outcast among Samaritan believers, to grab the attention of the eyes and the ears of her people, who too are committed to what they believe the true God to be. Before they come alongside her to witness this great guest, known enemy, now welcomed as a guest, they on her words and because of her prior reputation, are willing to seek him out and beg for him to sit with them for 2 days, whatever that means. And are willing where they learn to listen in the presence of true God. She appears to be an expert in their laws and a master of her domain, maybe a shadow reflection or a truer reflection of what Nicodemus could become. Yet human interpretations of her and all of us are regularly not flattering. Last Sunday, the second half of verse 34, the one who comes from heaven is above, the word above, all things. God's truths have depths and layers deeper than a preposition like up and above, meaning only up there on far off into the future. How about up and above, meaning also deeper than and far above our ways and our understandings? And then this Sunday, right in the middle of chapter 4, 23, the time is coming, double hyphen, and is here, double hyphen, when true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth, whomever and wherever. This is his body and blood too, right here among us. We can beg to be in communion with the living God, who has no need for buckets to contain or control or distribute sparingly his fountain overflowing, a water that is contagious, even though too rarely seen with or followed by our adulterated eyes. And Jesus shows them then and us today his depths of layers of truth is right in front of us, above our understanding, below the surface of all that each tribe thinks they know so perfectly. With an abundance of grace and mercy available from him to each of us, living into our calling as the faithful bodies in Christ, do we hear the call that it's time to continue to be consumed by study of his scriptures as we beg for discovering his unchangeable truths as they continue to be revealed by our tribe and any other who fight for the body and blood of our Lord? We have to deeply absorb the words of our Lord, or we might walk right past beautiful learning and growing wells, whether at the feet of Jesus or an outcast woman, or maybe properly cast as the feet of the woman at the well. 20 years ago, a Nicodemus moment for me. I was nominated to be Doubting Thomas in a production during Lent at a church. My only requirement, grow a beard. And they kept me anyways. It was powerful to us. We memorized scripture, figured out how to be the 12 men up here at the table. The Dallas Mavericks announcer, his wife was a member, and he listened to that, and his heart was changed. He joined our church. He was moved, and we did that play year after year, a couple years, not quite the same impact maybe, or maybe deeper impact. I don't know if you can maintain that same kind of drama up here. I mean, churches have plenty of drama, we know that. A I want to challenge. I feel great about this Thomas call. I'm a doubter. I could see myself saying, show me flesh and blood holes. I think it's pretty presumptuous of me to nominate myself up into the elect circle of 12. And yeah, I doubt it. I sin a little. I think if I think about my card-carrying membership as a Christian, and I think of my mixed fidelities, as I replay relationships, either blindly or intentionally, do I have a mixed allegiance? I've chosen time and time my thoughts, my words, and my actions to see flesh and blood, but it's not in a beautiful way. I can do better. Let's see, it's way of the Nicodemus, so a true life for me, woman at the well moment. We are here at St. Luke's, and in the 3 years I've observed a lot at in the basement breakfast. And there's quite a lot to see, but people make an impact on you if you're just present and you listen and you observe. So we're here at St. Luke's in the upper room, and there's a lady and a guy and a business deal going wrong, whatever their business is, and they're not at their best. She's not having her best moment, but a guy and a girl that I've learned to pay attention to start rattling out scripture. They throw out some Revelations 13. The horn on your back is showing you, beast. They're calling her the devil alive. They throw out language like Jeremiah and Ezekiel. It says, we supposed faithful are in fact shacking up on any old mountain high or under any and every shade tree that shows interest in us. The second call out was a Revelation 71. A neat friendship sparked between a lady from a church. He's a regular worshiper, not here, but at another. And they struck up a friendship and some respect for each other. But something rubbed the other lady wrong. And she preached. You give me crumbs. I've got two shirts, like God says. I've lived the tough life. And look at you in your pretty dress, with your pretty makeup and your pretty life. I'm as gentle as a dove, she said when she started getting hot and she was feisty. Was that the devil speaking through her or God speaking through her? And the debate was on. As collegially and educated as we could, I got sucked into this conversation. The heat wasn't directly on me, but I'll attribute, I'm part of this church-going group. She tried to defend and talk about respectfully how she disagreed with this lady's call out about if we're in a church, we better check our allegiances and we better check any allegiance but Christ alone at the door. It was a powerful moment that I'm not presenting as well as I want right now. So, we are called as the church to be called out and to be comfortably present in the challenge of Christ or anyone and everyone. And we are called to be reflections of people down in that basement who know their Bible better than us, maybe save a pastor or two here. Let's get into our scripture so that we can continue to hear the call to change our hearts and lives. Let's live out our role, cast more rightly as the woman by the well, thankful for his generous patience and presence and depths from above, right within his living body of believers, who often cannot decipher his presence and his will and living water when it rains right below the surface and right in front of our faces. This body of Christ, St. Luke's, 3 chapters every Sunday from 3 books, it's too much for us to take into our clay jars. We have to keep coming back into more of his word and deeper quenching truths to live into. We must daily drown our old Adam and Eve deep in scripture, and we must put these learnings into practice and learn daily how to out-Christ and out-cross-carry in every relational offering presented to us, among us, as opposed to being in opposition because we know something a little better than somebody, or we think we do. always outsmarting or one-upping one another. That is not our way. Lord, teach us how to receive and then to offer and provide your true life and presence as you give to us, to each other, in ways that rightly honor you. We truly want to share in living your life in the here and now as we learn to thirst and hunger no more together. Amen.